Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. This is God's word. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, "I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now, leave this land at once and go back to your native land.' Then Rachel and Leah replied, 'Do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely, all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you.' Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels and drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and crossing the river, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream by night and said to him, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, 'What have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You've done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now, you have gone off because you longed to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me. And if so, take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period. So he searched, but could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. What is my crime? He asked Laban. What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you. Laban answered Jacob, The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine or about the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, Gather some stones. So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha, and Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, This heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it was called Galeed. It was also called Mizpah, because he said, May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. Laban also said to Jacob, Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day to day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us. Help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Well, we've said before, there's only one who is good, and that is God. And everybody in this story is at fault except God. But we see and learn, hopefully, some things that are helpful to us in our lives today, because the Bible tells us that all these things were written for our instruction, in large measure, so that we would not have to make the same mistakes that others have made before. So, Jacob has been blessed by God. There are no two ways about it. The end of chapter 30 says, "In this way the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys." But that didn't go over so well with Laban and with Laban's sons. Imagine, you're one of Laban's sons. Your dad has a ranch, and you think that you're going to come into that. And along comes this other fellow, a relative of your aunt, a son of your aunt. And this guy shows up, marries two of your sisters, and then starts prospering like crazy. I mean, it seems like everything he touches turns to gold. It's just absolutely amazing. You've never seen anything like it. And soon, your father's wealth is diminishing, and this guy's wealth is growing and growing. And every time you complain, this guy's wealth just gets greater. You know your dad has been trying to address the situation because he has renegotiated the deal that he had with this Jacob fellow several times. Well, actually, he didn't renegotiate it. He just ripped him off. Guess what? God will take care of it. Take a look in Romans chapter 12. We're coming right back here to Genesis 31. But take a look real quickly over in Romans chapter 12. This is a vital word for us, because all of us, everybody, will be in situations where somebody does us wrong. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not ever, under any circumstances, do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, get out of the way and let God deal with it. Don't get in there and say, "Well, I'm going to try and straighten this person out, and if they won't listen to me, I'll hurt them." No. Let God deal with them. Your job is to be kind, even to people who aren't kind to you, even to people who treat you unjustly. You're supposed to be nice. So what Jacob did here was not exactly the model of a Christian attitude. Jacob, by the way, wasn't a Christian. He was an Old Testament Jew. And he's not held up to us as an example of perfection. He's held up as an example of God's grace. So Jacob complains when he meets finally with his, well, first he meets with his wives. He complains to them. He says, "You know, your daddy has really done me wrong. And now, and this guy's wealth is growing and growing. And every time you complain, this guy's wealth just gets greater. You know your dad has been trying to address the situation because he has renegotiated the deal that he had with this Jacob fellow several times." Well, actually, he didn't renegotiate it. He just ripped him off. guess what? God will take care of it. Take a look in Romans chapter 12. We're coming right back here to Genesis 31, but take a look real quickly over in Romans chapter 12. This is a vital word for us because all of us, everybody, will be in situations where somebody does us wrong. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not ever, under any circumstances, do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, get out of the way and let God deal with it. Don't get in there and say, well, I'm going to try and straighten this person out, and if they won't listen to me, I'll hurt them. No. Let God deal with them. Your job is to be kind, even to people who aren't kind to you, even to people who treat you unjustly. You're supposed to be nice. So what Jacob did here was not exactly the model of a Christian attitude. Jacob, by the way, wasn't a Christian. He was an Old Testament Jew. And he's not held up to us as an example of perfection. He's held up as an example of God's grace. So Jacob complains when he meets finally with his, well, first he meets with his wives. He complains to them. He says, you know, your daddy has really done me wrong. And now, no, actually, this is human nature. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? We're not only wicked, we're deceitfully wicked. We are so deceitfully wicked that we can't even process how deceitfully wicked we are. Who can know it? So understand that what is happening here is not just a window on Jacob and on, before him, Isaac, who lied about his relationship with his wife, and before him, Abraham, who lied about his relationship with his wife. This is a window on the human condition. People are not honest with each other the way they should be, and they're not honest with themselves. So, this deceit issue comes up as Laban is complaining. And he says, you didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You've done a foolish thing, and I have the power to harm you. I'm just ready to hurt you badly. But God told me I couldn't. That's what he says. He says, God appeared to me last night and told me I better not say anything to you, good or bad. Just leave you alone. And so that's, I just want you to know that's the reason I'm not hurting you. Is because I know your God is real and I know he's got power and I don't want to be in trouble with him. He's sticking up for you. But you just better know that if it weren't for him, I'd hurt you. Now, wouldn't you think at that point, this is a guy who believes in God and therefore would know that idols are not good? One of the main things he's upset about is his household gods, these little statues, have been stolen by Rachel. Jacob doesn't know it, and he says, if you find those, whoever's got them is dead. Why would that be such a big deal? Well, it wasn't just a religious thing, it was also a legal thing. Whoever had the idols had the claim to the inheritance. We know this from archaeology. If you had the household idols, you could use that as proof that you are the chief heir of the estate. And so, in all likelihood, part of Rachel's thing was not just a loyalty to those gods, but it was claiming property. Remember, she and Leah were upset that their daddy had spent the money that Jacob had paid in order to prove that he was a worthy husband and that he should be able to have them. He worked for 7 years, but he also paid a dowry. And they said, Dad not only sold us, he spent all the money. He has robbed us of our inheritance, our due. Anything he's got left belongs to us. And that's, to a great extent, what Rachel was saying by taking those household gods. But here's what happens. Laban starts going in the tents and he's looking. I mean, he's searching the place. How would you like it if somebody asked you a question and then turned your house upside down to see if you were telling the truth? That would be offensive, wouldn't it? But lo and behold, the deceiver, Laban, has a deceitful daughter. And so she claims to be having her period and therefore not able to get up. I have to just stay seated right here, I'm sorry. So it's like, okay, you just stay there, honey. And he checks everything else in the house, can't find the idols. She was deceiving him. Again, deceit, 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 deceit. And it's just right there for us. I am so glad that God is so honest about how dishonest we are. Because what it does is it shows that the human heart has not changed down through time. It's not like, you know, people are becoming very evil these days. No, actually, it's an ancient problem. It goes all the way back to the garden where the serpent lies to our first parents and they believe the serpent rather than God's word. And so they sin against God. Now, Jacob's description of what life was like is like the old stories about, you know, when I was your age, I had to walk to school barefoot in the snow and it was uphill both ways. You know, I mean, that's basically what Jacob sounds like. If you read his description, it's really pitiful. Verse 40, this was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and cold at night and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for the 20 years I lived with you. 20 years I was with you and every day was a nightmare. It was always terrible. I was either too hot or too cold every day. Jacob, poor Jacob. He got rich working for Laban. God had taken care of him. God had blessed him. But all he could see was that man was unfair to me. That man was unfair, but God took care of it. What are you complaining about? Years and years and years ago, when I was in seminary, the president of the school said I had to decide at the beginning of my ministry if I was going to work for this denomination or for this denomination. And I decided I'm not going to work for either of them. I'm going to work for God. And he said, God's been good to me. Well, let me tell you, I sat there and I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to work for God. I want to work for God. That doesn't mean you can't have supervisors and managers and employers. It means that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God is the one you're working for. He's the one you want to serve by serving others. If you will put yourself in God's care, trust your affairs to Him, let Him be the one who looks after you, I promise you God will do a better job than anybody else could ever do for you. God will take care of you. He will. He knows what's best for you. And it won't always be easy and it won't always be fun and sometimes it does feel too hot and sometimes it does feel too cold. But God will bless you and He'll protect you and He will avenge you. So you just do what God says and don't worry about the rest.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.